Climbers, the world, it's a crazy place. You know that, right? And if you turn on the news or social media, you'll run across a ton of stuff that's going to get your blood boiling or your tears falling. But is it worth it to write current event songs? Well, we're going to talk about that today on The Climb. So listen up, because we want you to win. Johnny, do that thing you do.
Welcome to The Climb! This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. Leverage is what you're going to need. It's not about your talent and then some big company plucking you out of obscurity and turning you into a household name. You're going to have to prove that what you do has value first, because there's too many people that are doing it around you that have leverage. That's the new game. And that's why we created this podcast, to teach you exactly how to do just that. C-L-I-M-B, creating leverage in the music business. That's brilliant. That's a Baxternym. And that comes from my good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter. Brent's an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. He's a Dove Award winner. He's Grammy-nominated, written songs on a Grammy-nominated album, right? Is that the right thing?
I guess that's how it's said, yes.
Got a couple number ones in Southern Gospel last year. So this man is just like a vulgar display of songwriting prowess. And what I love about Brent is he is helping songwriters like you turn pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro, and then he gets you in touch with the pros on a regular basis. And you can find Brent at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
And I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. Yeah, it's complicated, but thankfully, Johnny's smart and he knows all the big words and what they mean. If you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other Johnny D. Whew, we're going to get it done today, bud.
We are on the struggle bus today, bro. You and me both, man. Just so you know how much we love you guys. Brent and I are like, we're both sick. We're both sick as dogs. I'm pretty sure I got a fever. I'm feeling miserable. I'm propped up on my couch right now, barely making it.
I've gotten over most of it. Actually, my kids had it worse. Some of my kids had it worse, but there's still a thing where I may go, I might have to run to the bathroom any minute. So I'll just let you know. We'll just hit pause. You know, it's one of those kind of days where you feel there's a clock ticking.
This is how much we love you, climbers. This is how much we love you. That's just the long and the short of it. So, other than that, let's take care of a little business here. First of all, what are you going to learn today?
Well, today we're going to talk about, you know, the current event stuff. You know, it's funny. We just had the video content challenge, right? Mm-hmm. About the world's gone crazy.
Yeah.
With Monroe. And, I just had a jam session a couple nights ago with members of Songwriting Pro, you know, membership. We do a jam session, which it's a Baxternym, stands for Just Ask Me. We hop on and I talk a little bit about songwriting, and then the members ask me, you know, whatever's on their mind about the art, the craft, the business of songwriting. And Papa Tommy, who's one of our esteemed members there, he asked about, you know, what's like with the Canadian trucker situation going on and different things. Like, what are my thoughts on writing like current event songs? Like, kind of, we could say protest songs or political songs or just, you know, current event kind of things. And I talked about it a little bit there, but I thought there was enough meat on that bone to, like, let's go ahead and do a whole podcast on that. Let's dive into that. So that's what we're doing today.
Interesting. I love it. Well, let's take care of some business first before we get into that. We want you to join the Climb community on Facebook. So that's facebook.com/groups/the Climb community. You have to ask to be let in. We let everybody in. And just be good boys and girls. We want to hear about your gigs. We want to hear about your new song. We want to hear all about you, and we want to hear it in the right places. If you put it in the wrong places, that's being bad, boys and girls. And you shall be chastised lightly and with a soft hand and a compassionate heart. Right. You'll be chastised until you do it again, and then you'll be cast into the gorge of eternal battle.
How long do we have to be nice?
Until it's time to not be nice.
I know. That's right.
And then you get roadhoused.
All right. But we don't have to do that very much, thankfully. So it's so, a good community.
This community's killer, though, guy. Lots of people going back and forth setting up co-writes, getting syncs, talking about marketing stuff, talking about, you know, helping each other out, setting up. Man, there's all kinds of stuff in this community. I just love our climb community, and we want you to be a part of it. So share some wins, Brent. We got some wins, right?
Yeah. So every Wednesday when I'm on my game, we post our New Heights post in the climb community, and it's where we encourage you to share your wins for the week, your music related wins with us, so we can celebrate with you. It's a great way to get your name out there. It's not spammy, because we're asking for it. This is a time to brag on yourself and what's going on with you and your music, and we want to know that. And it's fun seeing people interact there and congratulating each other and building a relationship with each other through this post and the other stuff we have going. So it's a good time. All right, so a couple wins. We're not going to have time to get to all of them, thankfully, but here's a couple. So Bill O'Hanlon says, got two songs taken for country pitches at a pitch event last night. Got a song placed for sync yesterday. To which Brad Hacker says, winning. So
you spoke to him the other night, had a meeting with him the other night.
Bill or Brad?
Bill.
Yep.
So, I haven't talked to him in forever, and he's looking good.
Oh, that's awesome. Bill.
Bill's awesome.
He's a busy man. He's a busy man.
Yeah.
So
he is.
That's right. And Brad Hacker, he said, had a songwriter reach out asking me to build a track to write to. So did it.
Nice.
He loves it. And now they're going to write it out. And it's like writing in a band again without all the drama. He said, I have entered a new frontier and trying to get better and better at building tracks, putting another tool in the shed. And I'm excited about that. So then, of course, a bunch of people are hopping on there and starting conversation about that stuff. So just good times. People getting some wins. We'll do one more here. Let's say Todd Williams Jr., climber, said, I got my first cut of the year on this song I wrote with my buddies Clay and Justin. And then he has a link to it, which he's welcome to do there. It's a add to that artist and the track, so you can go listen to it there.
But I love Todd. Todd's worked with us before. Todd's interned with us, I think.
Or awesome.
Randy Barber, I think, is who he interned with, but we're all in the same office. Todd's a good guy.
Well, apparently he's a good writer, too. Got his first cut of the year. Yep. So that is awesome.
He's congrats, no dummy. He's everybody. No dummy. Mama Ray's no dummy, let me tell you.
So that's love it. Yeah.
All right, so subscribe to the podcast or follow it, depending on whatever platform you're on. Leave a rating and review on iTunes. That helps us out. Please do so. And then the biggest thing you can do is tell a friend about it. I mean, you're spending this kind of time with us every week. It's for a reason. We're providing value somehow. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have the downloads if we weren't. We're very proud. That's what we're trying to do. We're very proud of this. And you know what you can do to really to honor that is seriously just tell somebody, another songwriter, singer, independent artist, independent musician, hey, like, check out this podcast, you know, you're going to learn a lot here. There's some stuff that can help you win, because we want you to win. And that's the end of the game, right? That's the end of the deal. We want you to win. It's a different game out there. The rules are changing, and you need a solid source of information from common sense that says, oh, here's how you do it.
Yep. That's right.
All right. So what's up?
All right. So, I had a question for the jam session, and Papa Tommy mentioned the Canadian trucker situation, which is going on right now, which, by the way, if you're listening to this episode in the future, you may be like, the what? Yeah, exactly. We're going to get into that, too. But, you know, he talked about the Canadian trucker situation, other political stuff that's going on. It's like, man, what are your thoughts on writing current event songs, like political commentary, kind of hot topic kind of songs? And, you know, as a professional writer, I definitely have my thoughts on that. So we're just going to dive into those, give you some food for thought, something for you to run through your own, you know, your own filter, your own goals, and hopefully we'll help you on your climb. So
wait. I just have a question to ask, though, before you go further. So this jam session you had, was this after, like, Trudeau's latest announcement?
It was on Tuesday night. So I'm not sure. I don't know.
I feel like, okay, so that's when he came out and basically said that you should probably, is it important to, in this story to explain what's going on there? Or just it's more important that's an event?
It's more just like there are current events, there are political things going on.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on writing about it? And my first thought is, you know, follow your heart. Like if you're moved by something in the news to put pen to paper, then by all means, put pen to paper. Like, you know, on those occasions when you are moved, you're mad, you're sad about whatever's going on in the world at that time, man, don't worry about the commercial or financial implications. Like, you're a writer, right? You know, I'm not going to tell someone, well, you can't write about that because the, you know, the numbers might say this or whatever. Man, we're artists. Like, we need to not shut down that part of our hearts that feel things and are moved. I think if you stifle that stuff, you're going to end up damming up a lot more, you know, of that river than you wanted to. That's my own personal thoughts on that. So,
That's part of the catharsis of songwriting, and it's part of your job as an artist. You know, your job as an artist isn't to try to create crap that sounds like could be on the radio. Your job as an artist, and I always consider songwriters artists. Once again, I know there's a distinction, but to me, they're artists. It's like, whether they choose to be the artist out in front or not, it's the blueprint of it. But, I mean, that, like, maybe you're not a political artist or something, and that's okay. But there are so many great songs that have been written by events that maybe weren't like just national, like news events or political events, right? Like I think about, you know what I think about just real quick is like, because I had a couple of these in mind when you told me what your title was, and I just started thinking about a couple of them. But you have no idea how many songs were written about Andrew Wood, the singer of Mother Love Bone after he died. So Mother Love Bone is the precursor to Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And so they were the band from Seattle that bridged that whole thing, man. They made that whole move. They turned all the record labels onto Seattle. Mm-hmm. And Mother Love Bone was, I mean, you're talking like the guys from Nirvana, the guy, you know, bowed down to Mother Love. They were the local heroes. They, you know, the guys from Alice in Chains were disciples of Mother Love Bone. And the singer was like super, super flamboyant and super cool. And they got the first big deal from Seattle, the major deal. That record is effing amazing. It's one of my favorite records ever. And before the record came out, singer died of a heroin overdose, you know? And then literally the whole band got Eddie Vedder as a singer and they made 10, right? Okay. So those are like the new Mother Love Bone. So that's Pearl Jam is Mother Love Bone with a different singer, essentially.
Yeah.
But, so the whole Temple of the Dog record, which had Hunger Strike on it and which had, you know, that whole record is all about Andrew Wood. Andrew Wood was roommates with Chris Cornell, and so they were best buds. And so that's Pearl Jam and Soundgarden getting together to kind of create. That's a whole tribute record. And Temple of the Dog is a term that Andrew Wood coined. You know what I mean? And then songs. There's a couple songs from Alice in Chains, like Wood is all about Andrew Wood, but it's WOULD, right? If I could, would you? And he's talking about, you know, something that the singer of Alice in Chains died from, which was heroin addiction, you know, like Into the Fire Again, you know, same old trip as it was back then. He's just talking about, you know, falling off the wagon and relapsing into drug addiction. But that whole song, If I Could, Would You? Like those are all about an event, a death, you know, that happened. And so it's, so like when you do it right.
Yeah. Which
it can be timeless.
And that's what we're going to talk about at point three.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I'd say, yeah, follow your heart. You need, if something moves you to write about, you know, Four Dead in Ohio or to write about,
I was thinking about Ohio too. That was the other one. 10 soldiers, Nixon's coming.
To write about, you know, courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. We'll put a boot in your, you know, whatever that is. Yeah, write it. Like, get that out, because it's going to fester if you don't, right? If you don't, it's going to kind of get toxic in there, I think. Let that stuff out. Will. Let that stuff out. So I always want to encourage you, yeah, do that. Now, I may have a different answer when it comes to, like, your career and that sort of stuff. And that's what we're going to talk about next is, you know, check your pipeline. Like, if you're all this, you want to run through your goals as a songwriter. If your goal is to, I just want to be a great songwriter, then great. That's a different conversation. Basically, that conversation can end. You can turn it off now. You know, write the song. Okay, you turn it off. Now, if your goal is to get cuts, make money, be a commercially successful songwriter, especially if you're not the artist, you want to check your pipeline. Okay, so, you know, are you also the artist? Like, your pipeline, meaning how far are you removed from releasing the song commercially? Are you the artist? Are you the label? Or do you... You know, how can you get the song into the right hands quickly? Because there have been a lot of current event songs that have gotten out there. You have 6 Feet Apart by Luke Combs. Okay, so here the term 6 Feet Apart. You can imagine what that's about, right? It came out fairly early in the lockdowns and everything and COVID in 2020. And Luke Combs wrote that. Boom, got it right out. That's also the beauty of the internet. You can get stuff right out there. You have You Forgotten by Daryl Worley and Wynn Varbal. Daryl Worley was the artist. He was also the co-writer on that. So, you have Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, you know, with Toby Keith. So he was the artist on that and the writer. And you have Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning by Alan Jackson.
That's artist, the one I was just thinking about too.
Yeah. Did he write
He wrote that. Okay.
Yeah. He wrote that himself. And so you have these ones that got out there. It's like, I'm noticing a trend here.
They're the artist,
right? Because they, you know, how personal is that? You know, about the all that stuff is so personal. They're moved to write this stuff that it's going to be hard to beat them to the punch, to be honest. Yeah. Like, okay, well, dang, Luke Combs just put that 6 Feet Apart song out there. Well, I got mine that I just wrote the week before he put his out. And I'm still looking for a co-writer on it, or I'm still trying to get the demo done to pitch it, you know? And now his is out there. Like, oh, well, that sure takes a lot of the steam out of mine.
Now it makes yours look like,
it's the sequel. It's an impression. Like a copy. It's the copy. Yeah.
It's not original.
And Luke has a bigger platform. So, I think of this, one of the classic stories in my head of this, when I first really started thinking about this, it was back in like maybe 2000, 2001 or something. But whenever Jerry Maguire came out, that Tom Cruise movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. And of course, there's some catchphrases in that movie that, you know, show me the money. But the other big one was You Had Me From Hello. At the end, he's having the big, you know, breakthrough moment with Renee Zellweger. And she's like, You Had Me From Hello. And, you know, every songwriter watching that movie was like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. You know, You Had Me From Hello. It's got the alliteration. It's a love thing. It's like, come on, we're going to go write that song. And I was no different. The alarm bells, the sirens went off in my head too. You know, I'm like, oh, that's a title. But I'm like, I live in Little Rock. I'm a lyricist. I'm not the artist. I don't know any, you know, like, yeah, it's a title. I'm not going to bother. Like, because I'm like, there'd be like 3,000 writers in Nashville tomorrow writing this song. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to beat me to the punch. Like, if I'm writing it for commercial success, like, why? Why am I? I'm still like trying to buy my ticket into the stadium and they're on third base.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, come on.
And looking to steal home. Looking to steal home.
And I'm like showing up at tryouts. You know, so I'm just like, I'm not going to bother. And sure enough, you know, probably a couple months later, Skip Ewing and Kenny Chesney were the writers on You Had Me From Hello with Chesney as the artist. He put it out. It probably went into number one form. And I'm like, I don't begrudge them that. They worked hard to get to third base. They weren't born on third base. They worked hard to get to third base. That's just how it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't write it because I wasn't so moved. Like I need to, you know, it wasn't a heart song for me. That would have been a fine, you know, like I want to try and write this song to write a commercial song. Now, if it had been a heart song, I would have written it anyway. And then it would have been interesting to compare the two to see what they did that I didn't. You know, I think there can be value in that. When you hear that title, you know, everybody's going to be writing. Go ahead and write it. And then when the other person hits the commercial world first, to go, what can I learn from this? Now I can A-B. I can comparison like apples to apples. Oh, what did Chesney and Skip Ewing do that I didn't do? Is there something I can learn from this? Like that song's going to be a hit.
Oh, I like that angle.
Yeah, because I've had that happen not intentionally before, where I wrote a buddy and I wrote a song, and then sure enough later, like a month or two later, somebody puts out a song that is similar, you know, not right on top of it, but it's like a very similar theme or the same title or something like that. You're like, oh, well, crap. Okay, well, mine's not going to get cut, but what can I learn from this? Like, what did they do that I didn't do that maybe I can learn from to see how I can zig instead of zag? You know, what can I learn from the craft from this? But anyway, yeah. So you had me from Hello Story for me is just a reminder that, okay, you know, I need to be doing more interesting titles, stuff that not everybody's writing. But we're really talking about the current event thing. So, you know, a rapper like Tom McDonald, which Johnny, you turned me on to, he can put out singles like Fake Woke and Snowflakes and No Lives Matter that while these topics are still like white hot, he doesn't have to go through a label. He's 100% independent. He has the infrastructure. He can put this, he does, you know, his girlfriend is the video editor. So he writes it, he produces it, he does it. He's the rapper, he's the singer, whatever he needs to do. And she makes a video. And then boom, they can put it right out and it's there for the world. And it does well. Like he is successful as an independent artist.
They are making a comfortable 7-figure living.
Yeah. And it's basically him and Nova, right? So like, all right, cool. He can do that. And so if you're an artist and that's something you want to be part of your brand, you can do that too. And if you do it well, then, I mean, he's really, those are his songs for the majority that have gotten my attention the most are the kind of current event songs. And I think really helped build his career because he can get stuff out there, that social commentary in a pretty timely manner.
And now he is like all political, right? So this is like
he's
rapper,
not all political. Right? I mean, no, he has stuff that like Best Rapper Ever is just about the internal insecurities of a rapper. He has songs about hip hop. He has songs about a lot of other stuff. Heart Emojis is just a breakup song. So he's not just, that's the stuff that gets the most heat.
Yeah. I've only heard that political stuff.
That's has the most heat, right?
That's what gets him the attention. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's not dumb. He knows that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But he has that infrastructure built up, which is basically him, his girlfriend, home studio, and YouTube.
Yep.
Right? So he has that infrastructure.
And a work ethic.
And a work ethic that apparently will not stop.
Yeah, and an understanding of and consistency. They definitely know how to honor the digital platform.
Yeah, yeah. If you can do that, then that's another reason to say, yeah, I want this to be part of my brand. If you want that to be part of your brand, then yeah, honor that. You can put that stuff out. And it can help build your career because there are people that I remember when my brother-in-law, Matt Klein, was doing some of that political comedy stuff that, you know, there'd be people on YouTube getting millions of hits on these songs that were political and timely and funny, but they weren't that great.
Yeah.
Just quality wise, they weren't great, but they're getting millions of views just because it hit right. It's the right topic at the right time.
They're going viral. Yeah.
They're going viral. And you're like, boy, that's not that great. Like quality. It could be done better, mm-hmm. You know? So if you
be get that, more smarter, yeah.
Yeah, it could be, yeah, smarter as far as a song. It could be more well-written and all this stuff. But, you know, but hey, they were getting it done. Sometimes it's better to be first than to be better.
It's always better to be first than to be better. That is one of the 22 immutable laws of marketing.
There we go.
Just talk to Sony about their Betamax.
Right, exactly. Which apparently is better than VHS. But who would know
Everybody's
that?
Everybody's like, what the hell is that?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's VHS?
Yeah.
It's the things they used to store in phone booths. What's a phone booth?
Right. So yeah, check your pipeline. If you want to write that current event song, I mean, I remember I was writing with my buddy Brandon Kenny. He had a record deal on Capitol for a while, and he was doing the stuff that was now he's just a big old freaking hit songwriter. But at the time, he was a really good songwriter, and he had a record deal on Capitol. He's doing this really funny country stuff. So it's not like it wasn't like it was country and it was really funny. Think of like the funniest Brad Paisley stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of lane where it's not a comedy record, but kind of is, but it's a country record. It was this hybrid thing of like country songs that are just really freaking funny. A lot of them.
Okay.
And so we were writing, I was trying to land on this record. And I remember him, you know, expressing some frustration with the label. Because they, you know, they were looking for like the single to put out kind of thing. But he's like, man, so much stuff on my record is like kind of time sensitive. Like it's commenting or kind of poking fun at some stuff that like people are going to forget about in another year. You know, their lines like, and what the heck is wrong with Michael Jackson? You know, because at the time, Michael Jackson was like hanging kids over railings and that kind of stuff. And if you don't get the reference, that's my point.
Yeah.
Okay. So little things like that where they weren't evergreen, some of the songs. And so he's like, I need to get these out because these are going to expire, basically. You know, so even artists on labels can have some of that frustration. So just be aware of your pipeline and let that feed into your decision as far as a commercial decision on what you want to do with that song and if you want to write it.
You know, I think I should make a qualification statement here. Mm-hmm. So I don't listen to rap.
Okay.
It's just not my jam. You know what I mean? I can appreciate it, you know? But it's not like in my playlist. That's just not my normal go-to thing to listen to. So for someone like Tom McDonald, like I'm listening to Tom McDonald because I appreciate like how big he's gotten. And, you know, I think it's interesting that he has a different point of view and that there's that big of an audience behind it. And I think he's really clever because he's saying, just a lot of common sense kind of stuff that is in those lyrics that are political. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the, you know, like fake woke and, you know, these, I think I share a lot of the same ideas and, view of the world that he does. And so therefore I know who he is and I turned him on to you because of that political stuff. But if you like rap, then those things are going to get you turned on to him because that's what's going to be like inundated in your feed. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go down the rabbit hole and find all those other things like you did, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I think too many people like worry about being, you know, branded as this or that. I don't want to be a cover artist. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a political artist or whatever. And, I think a lot of really, really, really good artists have woven in and out of that without necessarily being branded a political artist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as it's a good song and as long as it's got a good message in it and you're sort of, you know, hitting it from a common sense strategy or a humanity strategy, you know, angle or something. And you're not like, bashing something, but you know, I mean, Ohio Stands Up Today is like a really great song. And there's people that listen to that song and they have no idea why it was written.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, like and also for some of the U2 stuff, like U2 is a political band, you know? And I think a lot of people don't realize what Sunday Bloody Sunday is or, Bullet to Blue Sky or, God, what's the song he wrote about, Martin Luther King?
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Shots ring out in the Memphis sky.
Oh, yeah. In the name of love,
pride. In the name of love, yeah. In the name of love, and that's all about the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. And so there's an event song, you know what I mean? But it's just what a great song.
And I think too with rock versus country, there's a lot more poetic license. It's not as like with country, it would be like tend to be more. You know, you would spell it out and it'd be much more clear the story you're talking about, right? Where some of that rock stuff, it's kind of more poetic, it's more, you get the abstract, it's a little more veiled sometimes, where like, you know, and you're listening more for the sonics and the passion in Bono's voice and the hooks and the, you know, stuff and the heart in it. And it's not even so much like, because it's a little more abstract art than, let's say, concrete, which country's more of a portrait. It's going to be what it is. I mean, we'll put a boot in your whatever, you know. You know, you
go put a boot in your ass.
You know, which is much more, you know. Have you forgotten? Where were you when the, you know, it's like much more like clear what event they're referencing and exactly what's going on. In general. And I think that helps some of those rock songs stay timeless because maybe it is maybe a little more veiled in some of those instances. Of course, I mean, it's just a generality. And, you know, 87% of generalities are false, and so are 97% of statistics made up on the spot.
So. Well, I guess my point is like, don't be afraid to do it. You know what I mean? Write the song, and then decide if you're going to put it out. Because if it's really well done, and maybe it's the only political song you're going to write or the only event song that you're going to write because it doesn't have to be a political event, right? Like we talked about, you know, the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. was a lot of different things, right?
A lot of different
things. I mean, it was horrible because it's just a spiritual bright light leader, just, you know, somebody that just came in and said, this is, you know, this doesn't make any sense and we're going to stop it. And everybody, like, he just could communicate and connect and everybody, you know, love that cat, man. And so that was like a loss.
Yeah.
As well as a political event.
Right. Yeah.
As well as, you know, just something so unnecessary and so sad.
Right.
And so it can be multi-layer things. And I think if there's one thing that the rapper, Tom McDonald proves is that, you know, hey, if you hop on that, like if you got something to say and it's well done, then man, that is a really, really good way to get out there on the digital platform, which is how you're going to break, not for nothing.
Yeah.
And why not use that? I mean, if it's something you believe and it comes from your heart
and you're willing to take the heat for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're willing to take the heat for it. But also I really believe that, you know, with some people, they sort of, I think people worry too much about their brand.
Yeah.
Because now they kind of can, I guess, you know, before where it was like, you had a whole team and it's got to get on the radio and there's 50 other people that are going to decide. But now it's like you get to decide. But man, I think the more it comes from your heart, the more a part of your brand it really is.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing about music or art or marketing, even sales, is joining the conversation that's already going on in somebody's head.
Yeah.
Right. Or putting into words what they haven't quite been able to put into words yet. And so, like, say a guy like Tom McDonald or any number of other artists that are, have that kind of political message, people resonate when they go, thank God I'm not the only one that's thinking that. Or to hear it going, oh, that's awesome. Normally I only hear that on CNN, but now I get to hear that with a sick beat and a melody, or I only hear that on Fox. But now, like, here's some dude that's, you know, I can crank it up and it jammed to it at the same time. Or,
you know, like, that's a really good point. Like, I never thought about that, but as segregated as we are, algorithms segregate.
Yeah.
Algorithms segregate, like, because it's going to give you more of what you want and less of what you don't. So we kind of don't have, which is another reason it's not like a broadcast platform, right? We're broadcast, you're forced to hear both things. And we only had three channels. You had to hear both sides of the story.
Right.
You don't have a choice. But now, you know, we're just so, everybody's so insulated. It's such an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And art can be
can the bridge equalizer. Some of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, people resonate. And it's going, oh, somebody's saying the quiet part out loud. Sometimes that can be the draw of an artist doing a current event song where they're just, they're speaking what they believe. And they're going to be people. And so for the people that love it, they're going to really latch onto you and love you more and go, yes, that is my guy. That's my girl. They're saying the quiet part out loud. That what needs to be said. Yeah, go say it. Right. Now, for the people that don't like it, you're going to lose some people. But, you know, it's kind of the Kevin Kelly 1000 true fans thing of, well, you know what? It's not about how many people don't get it. It's not how many people hate it. It's the how many people love it. Don't worry about the no. It's not how many people say no. It's how many people say yes. As Gene Simmons said about backstage groupies. So, right. So, yes.
Anyway. Everybody says no. It's about how many people say yes.
Exactly. So, anyway. Oh, but, okay. So we have, you know, follow your heart, check your pipeline and your goals, right? But then the other thing is, my suggestion is to make it timeless and positive if you can. Okay, so this is the commercial consideration. Like, oh, this thing happened. I want to write about this. What do I want to do? So anger and finger pointing may have a place, but positivity usually has longer legs. I think of the song Be a Light that was out like in 2020, I think, by Thomas Rhett, Hillary Scott, Keith Urban, Reba, and Chris Tomlin. Yeah, that's a crew. So it came out at a dark time. You know, was it specifically about, it wasn't specifically about Black Lives Matter movement or Trump or COVID-19 or any of that, right? It wasn't that you can point and say, oh, that's about that. That's about, but it fit, like it was more general, but it fit that time. So when they put it out, it was just like in a time, you know, full of darkness, be a light. In a time of war, you know, be peace. In a time of hate, be love, that kind of stuff. You're like, it's kind of timeless, right? And it's a positive spin on it. And it's like that song could have come out 10 years before, or it's probably going to be relevant 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, and so it very much, and I wasn't in the writer's room, unfortunately, but it very well may have been written going, just watching the news going, all this crap going on, man. And they could have said, there's a, you know, there's a virus out of China and it's, well, first of all, that would have got it taken out of Twitter, but you know, they could have said, you know, there's this virus out of China and everyone, you know, and everyone's getting sick and lockdowns. And there's a president who's tweeting things that are making people's heads explode. And there's, you know, but it, whatever, but be a light, right? They could have done that, tapped into the moment. They didn't. They were like, in a time of war, be peace, in a time of fear, be hope, in a time of whatever, hate, be love, in a world full of dark, be a light. Oh, yeah. So it can still feed off that, the current emotions, but it's more timeless, and it's a positive thing too, so more people can grab onto it. I think about that. There's, it's like kind of get to the emotion that the current details or the current events are causing you to feel or that you want to feel without getting into all the specific details and putting a timestamp on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so there's a situation where we're always talking about specificity in songs.
Yeah.
And here it might be kind of counterintuitive where you got to be careful with that. Don't put too much specificity in. Mm-hmm. And if you can be a little bit more general about it, it'll resonate and be more timeless.
Yeah, I think so. And that doesn't mean that you have to all of a sudden be vague. Sometimes it's, you know, I wrote a song with my buddy Steve Dean. Hit songwriter, wrote Watching You for Rodney Atkins and a bunch of other stuff. He's great. And anyway, I was trying to get on this Alan Jackson record. And, you know, it's all, this was probably 2020 or 2020, I think maybe 2020 when we wrote it. And so lockdowns are going on, all this stuff. And you're like, but you feel like, okay, what might be a good sentiment to want to put in a live show or a message to put out there? Like the whole world's been down. It feels like, let's get to the getting back up, you know, let's get out of this. Like, yeah, that feels like a good sentiment, like this. Let's write this chorus that could apply to this time in the world, but let's not make the verses about that. Let's make the verses a love song, but let's write this chorus.
Let's get to the getting back up. That's just positive, man. That could be about a bad day. That could be about a breakup, a divorce. That could be about, you know, losing somebody. That could be about like anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
like resilience,
like the emotion is about COVID and, you know, pandemics and all this stuff. And like, let's get out of this. We've been down. And so what we did is we wrote the verses about, you know, this couple that's been going through a rough patch. They've been down. It's like, well, I've been missing our bed since the words that we said pushed us over the edge. Yeah, we both made mistakes, you know? And so it's clearly about this relationship that's kind of on the rocks. So why are we just waiting for our hearts to unbreak? And then the chorus, and you think about this chorus in a love context or in the world, let's get to the getting back up. I know the best is ahead of us. Let's climb above the rain, find us a place in the sun. Let's get to the good part again and make it better than it's ever been. We've been down long enough. Let's get to the getting back up. Like, so that could totally be about.
Hell yes.
That could, you know, so I'm picturing like in a concert, you can go, hey, man, you know, we're just coming out of a dark time. And if Alan talked a lot in his concerts, which he doesn't, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's good to be back out in the world again. And, you know, I've been missing everybody and we've been down long enough. Let's get to the getting back up. Let's have a good time tonight. But then the song's about this love thing, but you're like in the broader context of the hitting that emotion of, yes, I'm ready to get out. You know,
is that a tempo song?
Of course.
My that could almost be, that could be a show opener.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You're in here now. You're in my house now.
Yeah.
And I don't care what happened outside those doors.
Mm-hmm. Here we're getting to the getting back up.
Yeah. Let's get into getting back up. You know what I mean?
It's like an
fire him up. That's awesome, dude.
It's like an Alan Jackson mid, you know, we like wrote it for Alan, a mid, you know, Alan toe tapping, you know, head bobbing kind of Jackson feel. But thing is, so it came a lot from that place of what's going on in the world right now. But let's wrap this in a way that could be more timeless. And unfortunately, his team passed on it for that record. But you know what? We can still pitch it forever.
Yeah.
Because that message will never go out of style because we wrapped it in a relationship context. So there's always going to be people fighting.
It's a good angle from a songwriter that's not an artist's point of view. I like that.
Yeah. But still that chorus, man, I could sing that about anything.
Yeah.
You know, you play that over clips of the news, you know,
that chorus, if that's like a big shout out, I've never heard this song, but if that's like a big, if you can make that like a big anthemic thing, that's something you can sing like in a football game when the team is down, let's get to the getting back up.
Yeah.
Let's
the best get to is the getting ahead
back
of us.
Up, you know? Yeah.
So that's something we try to do is like tap into some of that emotion without the specifics of the current event to try and make it more timeless. And it's a good thing we did because otherwise if they'd passed, it'd be like, well, okay, well that's dead. That's too bad. Wasted that demo money, you know, but now it's like, all right, well we can pitch it to these other artists. He's definitely got an Alan Jackson vibe, but if we need to change that up a little bit, we can, or we pitch it to him for the next record. Cause it's not going to be like, oh, well that was about the pandemic. That's over now.
Yeah.
It's about a relationship. but it's also just a good positive thing. Another thing about like the political stuff, it was interesting when I first signed over at Major Bob Music, you know, I brought several songs into my Schedule A, which is kind of what you bring into the deal with you. And they're like, yeah, man, you got some songs that are like similar to what Neil Thrasher's doing, like along the same lines, which is a huge compliment because Neil Thrasher, he wrote,
hell yeah,
There Goes My Life. Just, I don't know, so many, you know, Fast Cars and Freedom and so many great, great songs. I'm like, well, thank you. And one of the ones they were talking about was a song called Flyover Country. And so Neil wrote Flyover States for Jason Aldean. And it was a big hit for Aldean. And I had this song that I wrote with my buddy Tim back in Arkansas, or I guess I was living in Nashville at the time, maybe, but I wrote it maybe on a trip back home or something. But it's called Flyover States. And it got much, and it's funny, like if you compare the two songs, like they're so similar in so many ways. But then, like, Aldean's is so clearly written to be a big country hit, and ours is not. But
a deep cut.
you actually can go compare them because we did get ours cut. We got a cut by Ray Stevens on his We the People record, which was like a political comedy record. Because, man, it was first cut. My buddy Tim cut it on his totally independent record called Southwind. And like he wrote this third verse by himself after we wrote the first two together, that he just went hard to the paint on the politics. I was wow, that's cool. We're never getting that cut. But it's cool that it's on your record. Okay. But then the Ray Stevens opportunity came along. And so I pitched that song exactly one time because no one else would touch it. And Ray cut it. I'm like, all right.
Nice.
But you can compare the two songs. Like they both start off with some, coast guys on a flight, you know, a coast to coast flight, looking down at the Midwest or Middle America going, why would anyone live down there? So both songs start off with that, but then extolling the virtues of the flyover states or flyover country. And, you know, so there's a lot of similarities in both of those songs. But one thing Aldean does, or Neil Thrasher and his writers, co-writers on that, it was not divisive. He threw his arms around everybody. There was no us versus them. In both songs, you know, the guys flying over the flyover states are kind of looking down their noses at it going, what's the point of all this land in the middle? Right. But Aldean's is more like, they just don't know how awesome it is. Cause they've never seen this. They've never seen that. They just don't know. That's why God made those flyover states.
Right.
Whereas ours went more us versus them, kind of the salt of the earth versus the elites. And then it got really political in that third verse. Thank you, Tim. But it also helped to get cut, actually, just by, you know, on a much, much smaller scale. But I'm still happy with it. There's no enemies. It's like Aldean threw his arms around everybody. He's just like, no, they just don't know how good we have it here. Yeah. They aren't evil. They aren't the enemies. No, they aren't the other. They just don't know what we got going on here. And so,
how many movies have been made about that? How many movies have been made about the busy New York, you know, super successful person or whatever? That I think of, what was that?
Did you hear about the Morgans and Doc Hollywood and just all these?
Yeah, that's really light. And then what was the one with,
Harrison Ford, Witness?
Who's the Sundance kid? Who are the actors?
Robert Redford.
It's a Robert Redford movie, and it was the horse one, like
The Horse Whisperer.
The Horse Whisperer.
Okay, yeah,
that's all about that. You know, where she's out there, like, what do you? He's like, I just wake up in the morning and I know what I got to do today. You know, and it's just like a simple life, and it's like, and it just seems so uncomplicated for her, and it like she like against her own will, it sort of unravels. Mm-hmm. Her life, you know what I mean, and into a better place, mm-hmm. and a better understanding and a better relationship and with her kid and, you know, all that. It's like fascinating, but that part was in there, that component was in there, mm-hmm. you know.
And so it was really instructive for me looking at those two songs going, oh, that's how you take the probably the same seed of an idea for both songs and,
big
and go,
song.
That's how you write a hit. You know, like, oh, thank you, Mr. Thrasher, for the lesson in songwriting. Mm-hmm. I got to compare those two things and hopefully learning some from it. I still like my Ray Cut. He's on my wall behind me. But and that made me think of also.
Nice wall, by the way, buddy. Congratulations.
I got the wall back up. Together. Yeah. I think about the song God Bless the USA, you know, Lee Greenwood. Classic, right? Timeless. Now, I don't know all the details about why he wrote that, what was going on. But, you know, I think it was like 70s or 80s, Cold War. Now, imagine Lee had taken the Soviets to task by name. You know, if he'd have mentioned whoever was ahead of the Soviet Union at the time and whatever. It wouldn't be as timeless. Instead, he focused on, you know, America. And if I had to start all over with my family, you know, whatever, I'd thank my lucky stars to be here. In America, if everything I'd worked for was gone and I had to start over, I thank God that I was right here to do it in America. Mm-hmm. And it's just this, you know, this proud to be an American. It's timeless. And it wouldn't have been so timeless, I think, if it had a bunch of current event stuff in there. But who knows? It very well may have come from, you know, looking at the Cold War going on, going, I'm choosing a side here. But he... So that may have started. I don't know.
Right? It definitely was a patriotic
song.
You know, and so what made him feel that patriotic? I mean,
might have been that contrast with the Cold War going on with the Soviets. But you focus on the positive, the timelessness of it, so people could tap into that. And so for many people, it may have been, I'm proud to be an American versus one of them commie reds, right? Or whatever. And so these days, though, you hear, you may think I'm proud to be an American versus all those Americans that aren't proud to be an American. Right. Yeah. You know, there are many ways you can tap into that kind of timelessness.
Fair enough. All of a sudden it applies. It applies in a different 40 way. Years later.
Yeah. Instead of sticking your thumb in the eye of the communist, you're sticking overseas. You're sticking your eye, the thumb in the eye of the communist at home or whatever. And so but politics aside from that, like whatever you fall on that, that's not the point. The point is, like, you took something, current event and what's going on, and that emotion and going, okay, well, how can I write this intelligently to give it as much timelessness as possible, maybe to be more positive where this thing can last for, you know, I mean, I doubt he knew what he had. I mean, how can you know what you have with a song like that? But, you know, versus we're not going to still be singing Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. You know,
right?
And now the song did its job, so I'm not belittling the song. I'm just saying, you know, if you're a writer,
and it's a big hit for Toby, and for Toby, it's a thing that I'm sure that's a crowd favorite.
I'm sure. But it you know, it was of a time and of a situation, and not as applicable as, you know, these days as it was back then. But as a writer, I want to try and write stuff that's more timeless that can, for one thing, if, as I'm pitching it, again, with like the Alan Jackson thing, we didn't write it about lockdown, but it's really about coming out of lockdown. Let's get to the getting back up. Let's go. Let's get up. But it could very easily apply to the economic times that we're in. Oh my gosh, I'm ready for inflation to stop and I'm ready for the shelves to have stuff on it again. I'm ready for people to get back to work. So businesses be open at the regular hours. Let's get to the getting back up. People, come on.
Yeah,
it's about all. I can apply to all that, but it's like, well, let's make it about a relationship because that's timeless and it's a positive sentiment. And so I just want to encourage you guys to think about that. If you're aiming for that kind of commercial success, especially if you're not the artist who can put the song out yourself, like take that emotion, take what that event is making you feel and go, okay, how can I write that in a way that is maybe a positive, more of a positive statement? Because in general, positive beats negative, like, you know, pointing up to a higher source and a higher emotion beats pointing a finger at somebody in general.
And that's right.
So, like, to come back to Papa Tommy's thing about the trucker thing, you know, which is a big thing going on in Canada because there are lockdowns and you have to be vaccinated or you can't be a trucker. 90% of them are vaccinated anyway. And they're like, I'm pretty much socially distanced. Like, this is like, this is what we do. And we want to still keep our jobs, even if we're not vaccinated. And so they're, you know, blocking off some roads and different stuff. It's called the Freedom Convoy. It's like, okay, how can you take that emotion that you may have watching that and get, and go, okay, if you're on that, their side of it, how can you just write, say, a pro freedom song?
Well, that, know, yeah, that's it.
I mean, Freedom Convoy kind of thing. Like, how do you make it positive and timeless that could have resonance, yes, for that situation, but also for so many situations to come without being vague and watered down? There's an art and a craft to it, for sure. It's not easy to do, but if you want to have commercial success, I think it's worth your time to think about that stuff and to try to figure that stuff out.
Pro Freedom is going to work. You know, I think on the positive side of that, you've seen other countries have convoys that are supporting those people up in Canada.
Yeah.
In America, Israel just had one or is having one right now. And the pro freedom thing just, I think, would win too, because the, you know, the latest news is that they're going to, they've enacted some
emergency stuff,
measures to be able to freeze bank accounts and tow trucks and of anybody, you know, quote unquote, suspected of whatever. And that's where it gets dicey, you know, because I mean, come on, it's a government. It's any government. It's this isn't a political thing. It's like government sucks at efficiency. And so whenever they can do something as harsh as that, as freeze your bank account based on who is suspected by some low level friggin' government worker, I don't care what side of the aisle it is. It's just, it's a bad, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way. You're like it's bad enough. Like, you have that on Facebook, right? Like, when something goes wrong on Facebook and there's nobody to talk to and there's nothing that makes any sense and you didn't violate anything, but something happened and now you've been this or that or whatever.
Yeah,
now
Facebook
imagine
jail.
It's your paycheck. Imagine it's your paycheck.
Yeah. Instead of Facebook jail, it's paycheck jail.
Or imprisonment or real jail.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is, you know, we give the government these powers. It's like, you know, give them the keys to the car and it's like, okay, now we want to have the car just be able to run over these people or to run over people. Okay. Now just remember, every 4 years we give the keys to somebody else. Now just
and somebody else is driving.
Somebody
That's
else
right.
is driving. So they, now the car can still run over people.
We don't want that to be subjective.
They
we don't want
turn
to be
down
moving
your,
it.
They may turn down your street now. So
That's
are you
right.
sure you want them to run it over those people? Cause now someone else is going to drive and they can, they'll be going down your neighborhood where your kids are. That should definitely have our attention.
So those kinds of things though, without being specific about that, but that whole idea is something that you can, you know, that you can express, right. And really resonate and comment on what's happening, but also make it more timeless.
Yep. So anyway, who knows? We probably lost people already on this, but that's just what I want to talk about. Just give you some food for thought and hopefully help you on your journey and write smart and effectively. And again, you just run it through your own goals and aspirations for your writing. And hopefully this is some helpful for you.
There you go. All right, man. Well, that brings us to the end of another Killer Climb episode. All right. Join the climb community, subscribe or follow the podcast, tell a friend about it, leave a rating and review. This podcast exists because we want you to win, so keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.